If you have your Bible, I invite you to Isaiah chapter number 9. Isaiah chapter number 9. And I'll try to not be real brief, but won't take it long tonight. We appreciate everyone that is here tonight. I know it would be easy to be somewhere else. Of course, really, we could be somewhere else most every service if we chose to. And understand people sometimes are with their family. So not make a big fuss. Because I enjoy being with my family from time to time. And there's times I've been away from them too. All right? There's times I've been around. I'm just like been around people enough. And I'm like, all right, I'm going to go off and be isolated for a few hours. And that works out good for me. So I won't say a whole lot about that. But I almost go through this. I just switch personalities. It's just good to be alone sometimes. Isaiah chapter number 9. Isaiah chapter number 9. Verse 6. It says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment, with justice, from henceforth even forever. And the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." Father, we thank you for the word of God. And I know we often come to this time of year, and there's so much busyness that we can miss out on what is really important. God, help us to everything we do to think of what this really means. And it's not just a time that we can get together and eat, a time we can just spend with family and to celebrate and enjoy each other's company. I believe there's something much more profound and deeper that we need to recognize and keep before us. So I pray, God, that you would help us, everyone, to have that perspective, and every member of the Mount Hebron Baptist Church to realize the significance of Jesus Christ becoming human flesh, not only the significance of his birth, but the significance of his life and death and resurrection. Father, if we stop just with the birth, we miss the gospel message. And I think a lot of people are comfortable just starting and stopping with the birth of Christ. God, help us to see it as so much more. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a song that says, "What child is this?" We've heard that. And we look into the book of Isaiah. And all through the prophets give us hints of who the Messiah would be. You see portraits of him sometime. There was definitely some confusion. Understanding. Because when even the disciples, they expected more from Jesus. They expected him to be that Messiah that would throw off the Roman government, that would establish an earthly kingdom. But the first time he came to this world, it was to be that lamb as a sacrifice. And definitely he's coming again. And we call about them as mountain peaks of prophecy. Depending on your perspective looking at it, they may look like they was one and the same. And we see here a blending of two of those. We see his first coming, his first advent, and the second advent, the return of Christ. We see it in these two verses and the teaching of that. But no doubt, those in the Old Testament, is very confusing. It's easier now to look back and understand, and we have that advantage of hindsight. And so I will say to you, though, but we live during a time, even with this advantage of hindsight, understanding who Jesus was, we live in a world that's very confused about what Christmas is about. We live in a world that is consumed with the newest gadget, the best sales, the newest toys. We try to find the best place to go shopping. If we're not concerned, I like lights and I like trees, and I'm not against decorations or things of that nature. But some people are totally consumed about the decor and just even going places and seeing lights. And my wife asked her boys this year about going to the lights, and I guess they're getting older, and they're like, really? Do we have to? You know, that was kind of the perspective. And they're sitting there nervous now because mom's behind them. But it's different, right? Ain't nothing. I enjoy that. I enjoy those things. I enjoy seeing them. And there's a lot of those out there today. And I, you know, but the truth is, if we're really not careful, we may celebrate Christmas, but not the Christ of Christmas. It's the easiest thing in the world to do this day. It's easy to be consumed with it. And there's nothing wrong. I mean, we have an elf on the shelf. We have wars and we have stories and we have all had fun with it, pretend, and we have a big time. But the truth, that's not what Christmas is about one bit. It's not about Santa Claus. And so Isaiah, when we read here, he wants us to understand who this Christ is. When you read and we study about Christmas, it's easy maybe to put the order or the arrangement of the story, when and what and where. But sometimes we miss out on who he really is. Because I really believe that and that's why the world is comfortable with Christmas and why they celebrate and they decorate and people get together. And even non-believers will rejoice. And sometimes non-believers will even go to a candlelight vigil. And I don't know, but anyway, they'll go to candlelight services and they'll do things. They're really not believers, but they'll participate because they love the pageantry of Christmas. But they really don't understand the Christ of Christmas. You see, I believe what it is, we're comfortable talking about a baby in a manger, but we become uncomfortable when we say that he's the only way to heaven. And we definitely become uncomfortable when we say that he was the perfect substitution for sin because all men were vile and wicked. And suddenly, people get uncomfortable. We say he's different. He's not an inclusive religion. He's exclusive. If you're not a part of his family and his kingdom, there is no heaven for you, only hell. And so we see this, and suddenly when we move on just a little bit deeper, people are not comfortable with the Christ of Christmas. And you can't have the Christ of Christmas without having his death, burial, and resurrection. And also, I believe, fundamental faith that same Christ is coming again, because you tie these two verses together. And you see, not only was for unto us a child is born, but you also see the of increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, and the throne of David upon his kingdom to order it, to establish it with judgment. He's coming also as king. So it goes beyond just a child being born in a manger to one day he rules and reigns for 1,000 years here on this earth until we enter into the kingdom ages. So let me just say to you, we see right here, I want to say he's the very embodiment of God's grace. The Bible says two times in verse 6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." It reminds me of the passage that I read this morning in the sermon, Luke 2:11, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David." You see, his life was unto us. It was inclusive to all us. I'm thankful that's how it was. It was for mankind unto us. That's the way it come. And so I'm thankful that it was very personal. Thankful that it was very inclusive. And the message of the angels was to the men. They didn't understand it. They were announcing it to them. But the message that the men had, it was a message that applied to them. And I am so thankful that we see that Jesus Christ is the very embodiment. He was given for us, for unto us. That is the purpose for which he came here upon this earth. Now we study the Bible, and the Bible makes it very clear that we're vile. The Bible makes it very clear that we're dead in trespasses and sin. The Bible makes it clear that we're impotent, we're powerless, that we're spiritual cripples, that we're spiritual lepers, that we're undeserving of mercy, we're undeserving of grace. But you see, unto us this Son was given. He was given because God loves sinners for some reason, I don't know. But found in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." I want to say to you, this Son that was given is the very embodiment of what God's grace is. And he's also the embodiment of God's glory. You see, notice this here. "For unto us what a child is born, unto us a son is given." Two things there that I believe is important. You see, the child speaks of his humanity. Jesus came as a baby. You know what? He was powerless as a child. He was just as fragile as any baby that's ever been born. Just as helpless as any baby that's ever been born. I mean, he wasn't born speaking. He wasn't able to take care of himself, wasn't able to feed himself. I mean, you talk about the frailty of the Godhead wrapped up in humanity. When you look at the baby Jesus, one thing it speaks is his humanity. That way he could identify with man and their state, understand their struggles, their trials. He can understand that. But not only do we see him in his humanity, unto us a child is born, but unto us a son is given. That speaks of his deity. If he is the Son of God, he is God. He's not just a man who had God-like characteristics. He's the very God-man. And what we say here in this verse is that he's the very embodiment of God's glory. And you say, Brother Grant, can you prove that a little farther? Well, yes, we can. Look in the book of Philippians, chapter number 2. And these verses are interesting. Philippians, chapter number 2. Philippians 2, verse 5. The Bible says this: let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. In other words, the way Jesus thought, his perspective, it ought to be in our mind too. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Think about this. He being in the form means being the fashion of God. He was God. Thought it not robbery. He didn't think it was strange, is what it's saying, to be equal with God. He didn't. Why? Because he was God. He knew he was equal with God the Father. He didn't struggle with that. Who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. In other words, he humbled himself and took upon him the form of a servant and was made into the likeness of men. You see, Jesus, in a way, emptied himself of his outer glory and wrapped himself in frail humanity. And we see that? Now, but he knew who he was. He understood that. And being in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So here's what we see with Jesus. I want you to understand that, yes, he was a child, but he was also God. And he was unique in every facet of his life. He was unique in his birth. He was unique in his life. He was unique in his death. He was unique in his resurrection. We find that, may I say to you, he tasted death, the Bible tells us, for every man. Amen. He's different. He was just different. I'm thankful for that. He's the very embodiment of God's glory. He is unique. There's never been any like him before. There's never been any like him afterwards, nor will there ever be anyone like him. He was God in human flesh. Let me say this thirdly tonight. He's the embodiment of even the very greatness of God. You look in his name. The Bible tells us here, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And it says the government shall be upon his shoulder. It means the authority of the world's government. See, this child was born. Now, the governments of the world have not been placed upon his shoulders yet. It's a dual prophecy of his birth. One day he's coming as king. For unto us this child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name. Think about this. I want you to understand it speaks of God's greatness. That's what his name is. And see, there's not one name that is sufficient for who he is. Most of us have two or three names. Some of us have nicknames. There's some people that have earned some other names. And sometimes we may be called names. I don't know. But may I say to you, he's very unique. And one name didn't fit. You know, they say the more you cut a diamond, the more you see that just the uniqueness of the diamond, a fine diamond, and the more that it has to offer if it's cut correctly. And you can cut it more angles. I don't know that much about diamonds. I'm glad that I bought one time for Jill. People explain that stuff to me, the clarity of the diamond, how clear it was. I'm like, whatever. I don't understand that. But I know different things. It means the more cuts, the more unique it would be. And the more you examine those cuts, you're like, wow, if you really examine diamonds. When I say to you, really examine the Lord Jesus Christ, what you're going to see, he's extremely unique. One or two names are not going to cut it. In fact, the Bible is listed with many, many names for Jesus. He's called many things. I mean, he is the resurrection and the life. He is the great I am. He is the bread of life. He is the water of life. I mean, we can just find right here gives us several names right here. And that's just to name a few. And he's called Wonderful. He's called Wonderful. And that means, think about it, this means to be supernatural or extraordinary. And truly, Jesus was extraordinary. There was nothing common about Jesus Christ at all. I mean, in his works, in his ways, in his words. I want to say to you, he was wonderful in every facet of his life. It also calls him Counselor, and that means to one to be your advisor, someone to devise a plan. May I say to you, he is our Counselor. He is the guiding force of our life. If there's one thing that should guide us, it should be Jesus Christ, and his word should be the guiding force of our life. And that's what he is. He is our Counselor, and I'm thankful for that advice we can get. He is the mighty God. I like this, the mighty God. What's that mean? That means he is the invincible one. He's the unconquerable one. In other words, he is our hero. Think about that. Our children love heroes. We love Spider-Man. The kids love Ant-Man, and they love Iron Man, and they love the Incredible Hulk and Thor and Batman. But may I say to you, there's never been there's none that could compare to the mighty God, Jesus Christ. He is the invincible, unconquerable one. Amen. He'll stand forever. As King of Kings, and by the way, he's defeated all enemies. You study the Bible, 1 Corinthians 10 and 55. One day, can say, oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? You know what's going to happen? He conquers death. You'll find that he conquered Satan when he rose again from the grave. You'll find that he conquered hell itself. I am thankful he is the one that's defeated all enemies that ever stood before us. He is the everlasting Father. It means the one that originates, the one that is the beginner, the producer. And as the everlasting Father, may I say to you, he's our sustainer. He's the one that gives us strength. He is the very source we run to when we're low. He's the very one that comes along and helps us to understand. He's our comforter. He's like a father that gathers us together, puts his arm around us, and is our encourager. I mean, everything we see about Jesus Christ, you cannot define him with just one name. He's so much more than that. And he says he's the Prince of Peace. You see, verse 7 tells us that he's going to have a government upon his shoulder. May I say to you, when he reigns, I promise you, it'll be better than Barack Obama. It will be better than Ronald Reagan. I don't know what Donald J. Trump's going to do, but I promise you this, he'll be better than Trump. There'll be peace and equity all throughout the world when he reigns. You see, we look here today and we say, who is this one that's born? What are we really celebrating at Christmas? It's not just a religious figure. You can be so busy with Christmas and all these things that you miss out on who he really is. I'm going to say to you today that this is the one that's the very embodiment of God's grace, the embodiment of God's glory, the very embodiment of God's greatness. That is what we celebrate today. And I ask you a question, do you know him? If you don't know him, you're missing out on the real message. And the real message is not about a babe in a manger. The world's comfortable with that. The real message is about a Lamb of God being slain. Blood that was shed for the remission of our sins. That's what the real message is about. That sin is terrible, has a horrible consequence, and there was a price to be paid, and Jesus Christ paid that price. And if we'll simply trust Him by faith, we'll be saved.